for members only. Golf Smarter number 258, published on November 23, 2010.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Lower scores without practice with Craig Sigal.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading the Golf Smarter podcast. To all of our new members, thank you so much for joining. And I hope that you decided to pull the trigger now because you're planning to join us for our upcoming Scottsdale adventure. Usually the free episode of Golf Smarter, for those who are not members, is a brief taste of the full interview that you're getting today. But this week is a touch different. They only get one of the two interviews that you get to hear on this episode. This week's member-only episode is a conversation with Craig Sigal of Break80Golf.com. Craig's site boldly proclaims to provide lower golf scores for the player who just doesn't have much time to practice. As we get into winter, I thought that may be a valid offer. There are a number of quotes from various instructors and PGA Tour winners who confirm his contention. It's a thought-provoking conversation that we'll get to in a few minutes. But back in the end of 2009, we launched our inaugural Golf Smarter adventure, where a group of listeners from around the world joined me for 3 days of touring and golf in Prague, Czech Republic. It was so much fun that I wanted to bring it closer to home so that we can shorten golf's winter layoff. Joining us today is Steve Nicodemus, a Zona Golf expert at the Zona Resort Suites, where we'll be staying between February 9th through the 13th of 2011 for our Golf Smarter adventure to Scottsdale. Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Steve.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
I am so excited to be working with you on our Golf Smarter Scottsdale adventure.
Well, we look forward to seeing you in February. I know how much fun it can be to have a little light at the end of the tunnel coming out of perhaps a damp part of your winter, but the sun will be shining in Scottsdale in February.
Yeah, well, it could be damp and it could be frozen, but hopefully we'll have Golf Smarter listeners converging from all over the country and possibly the world to join us for 4 days of golf and sun and a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, the lineup of golf courses that you've provided the group is honestly is the best of Scottsdale and Arizona golf that we can provide. It sure sounds like a fun weekend.
Yeah, and last week we spoke with Tiffany Nelson, who's the Director of Business Development over at TPC Scottsdale. And the fact that, and I even spoke to Tiffany after we published the show, and the fact that we got a tee time for the Saturday following the Waste Management Phoenix Open apparently is quite the coup. She said that that is the hardest tee time in Arizona to secure.
Well, certainly the week after the Waste Management Open down here, after the telecast is viewed by most of the golfing world, really has put the interest on Scottsdale and Arizona golf, and be a fun day to see the golf course. The stands will still be up from the tournament from the previous weekend, and really still get the full effect of the stadium effect on the 16th hole. Now that the stands have been lining the entire hole, it's like playing golf in an arena pretty much. So it's it'll be an experience I don't think many of your other listeners have ever experienced.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talk frequently about the fact that golf gives people the opportunity to play on a course that, you know, where what other sport can you play on the same playing field that the pros play on? But playing, you know, at Pebble Beach or St. Andrews because it's been played in a major before is one thing, but playing it while it's set up for the tour is a whole different experience.
Yeah, it's like maybe playing flag football the day after the Super Bowl on the same field. So,
well, definitely flag football with the quality of golf that we'll give it.
In my case, anyways.
I'm thinking that maybe even for the 16th hole, that par 3 that seats, 23,000, Instead of trying to get it onto the green, since no one's going to be booing us, I just might tee one up with a driver and try to put it in the stands and feel like I hit a home run.
You've had such a great baseball year up there that it's hard to get our minds off baseball, I bet. So tee it up and hit it right out into the bay, perhaps.
Yeah, right. That's what we have in San Francisco, but the rest of the country's like, enough. But part of our adventure will be, and because we've positioned this directly between the Waste Management Open and spring training, which helped on our pricing, obviously. But just days before the Giants report to spring training, we're going to get a private tour of Scottsdale Stadium. They don't give that tour, and I'm so excited that we've gotten permission for that.
Well, it's especially with the momentum that the Giants have this year. It's a special coup.
Yeah, it really is, and they just announced this morning they signed one of their players. Aubrey Huff just got signed for another 2-year deal. That's very exciting. But other than that course, other than TPC Scottsdale, we're playing some other great courses. First and foremost would be True North. That's a world famous course.
Oh, without question. When Arizona Golf was really building the early momentum, it was True North that really put Scottsdale and Arizona desert target style golf on the map. 15 years or so ago, when golf vacationing really gained some momentum down here, it was to their credit. The original Monument course cut through the virgin desert, through the rock outcroppings and the topography around the Pinnacle Peak Mountain, and where the True North property is very memorable. And it's an outstanding facility. We kick things off. The first round of your weekend is at Greyhawk, minutes from us here at the Zona Resort, which held the Fry's Electronics Open previously the last 3 years before moving to your area last November. So a lot of great golf, some very name-recognizable facilities, outstanding desert target-style golf, and it's going to be an awesome weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Greyhawk being another course that has hosted the PGA Tour, and we're going to get a chance to play it. And then our fourth course being Kierlin at the Westin Resort. I've played that course. Personally, my lowest score I've ever shot was at Kierlin. So that's why I wanted to bring it back. It's not the hardest course of the four that we're playing, and that's why I figured let's play that on our last round so we can go out with a bang.
You know, it's a great strategy because Kierland is a very fun, enjoyable site to play golf. Always maintained impeccably. And not the most penal of Arizona golf, so a bit of a respite, if you will. So I think it's great strategy on your behalf. Wrap up with a golf course that's very enjoyable for all skill levels. After a pretty action-packed weekend, I think the pace of the weekend will be not hectic, but it'll be a lot of full days of golf and some memorable meals at night, probably. So I'd to kick it off on a more lenient note is a great way to wrap it up.
Yeah, very excited about that. And you know, it's interesting because people are going to be flying into Phoenix. If they're local, they're going to be coming in towards Scottsdale. But even though they're flying to Phoenix and you think of it as the Phoenix area, Scottsdale really has, between its golf, the shopping, the spas, and the Zona Resort Suites, Scottsdale really has come into its own as a fabulous destination for, you know, winter months especially.
Without question. And the benefit of our resort, fortunately, we landed in the middle of the North Scottsdale residential, commercial, and shopping districts. So within minutes of our hotel, the Kierlin Commons is a fabulous place to spend an afternoon or an evening walking the main street with all the specialty shops and about 10 or 12 dining options there. It's just fabulous. North of us through Greyhawk and the DC Ranch Marketplace, to our west, the Desert Ridge area with more shopping options almost than golf options. With the growth as it came north in Scottsdale, the most recent development just wrapped right around us. So Zona, with our condominium suite-style floor plans, is an ideal location right in the middle of all that activity.
Yeah, and that is something that, because of the positioning of our weekend being the, we finish on a Sunday, Monday being Valentine's Day, that we're letting everybody know if you need or if you're having trouble selling this trip at home, that this could be a Valentine's weekend away. And we're creating a lot of activities for non-golfing partners and spouses that include great shopping. A nature hike will be involved. And then right across the street from you guys is the Scottsdale, the Fairmont Scottsdale Princess. And they have one of the most spectacular spas imaginable. And there's going to be a full day for at the spa for the spouse as well. And the pricing for if you come in as a couple changes radically to be so affordable, so worth it. And we also want to let people know that if you want to take a day off from golf and spend it with your spouse, we're open to that. We'll adjust the pricing on that. No problem. And we'll make it a great and memorable weekend for you in so many ways.
Well, the flexibility that you offer can sure make it attractive. It's not that we're stuck to that rigid, concrete schedule. As you mentioned, if a couple of folks wanted to literally walk next door, probably part of our property is closer to the Willow Stream spa facility at the Fairmont next door to us than some of their rooms. So
that's true.
If that afternoon sounds more appealing than golf, we can make those arrangements.
Well, that day is going to be the day we're at TPC Scottsdale, which is also right there. So I think that's going to be memorable for everyone. And as a matter of fact, that night is the night that we're going to be doing our second group dinner. And Jeff Ritter, one of the teachers who's been with us on Golf Smarter multiple times, is going to be joining us for dinner to do a live Q&A that we're going to record and turn into a future podcast episode.
Well, it's all around a fun weekend.
Yeah, well, give me a minute on the Zona Resort Suites. We talk about golf, we talk about shopping and spas, things like that. But you guys really have a great facility, very comfortable. And it's not necessarily a hotel. It's not a business, you know, go stay there for a month type of facility. It's a unique, unique destination.
Yeah, we've really combined all the amenities of a resort hotel property with the comforts of almost a residential community. So we have four swimming pools, each one with their own hot tub. Our one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and four-bedroom furnished condominium suites are very, very adaptable to whatever size of group that you may be traveling with. The one-bedroom suite is a perfect fit for couples. It's a full 600-square-foot floor plan with a fully furnished kitchen, living room. Two-bedroom suites are terrific for a foursome of golfers, where we do have the option of two queen beds in each of the two master bedrooms. That's a 1,200-square-foot floor plan and suites as large as the 2,000-square-foot four-bedroom suite. So depending on the size of each individual group traveling, we can fit their needs and the amenities of the property with the 24-hour front desk, the bell staff, concierge services, fabulous new dining room and expanded lounge. We underwent an extensive renovation 2 years ago. So the property has a new polish to it with all in-room amenities, the expansion of the lounge and the outdoor patio wrapping around the Asada Desert Grill is a tremendous place to wrap up the evening and catch up with some friends before you turn back into your suite. So it's it really is the best of everything, the resort hotel along with the amenities and the advantage of the larger square footage of the condominium suites.
Yeah, and if you want to bring a foursome with you, say you're not bringing your spouse, and you have a foursome that I know that I have a group of buddies that I travel with every year that we go play golf, and you want to bring your own foursome, this is a great way to do it because you'll get a four-bedroom suite, you'll share a kitchen, you'll share a common area, but you'll each have your own private room with your own private bathroom and your own private HDTV in that room. It's It really is a great way to travel, so affordable, and I just think that we've created a super, super time for that weekend. Steve, thanks so much for all your flexibility on this trip and for helping host this trip. I look forward to bringing, you know, a bunch of Golf Smarter listeners to get together down in the desert this coming February.
Well, I look forward to having you back with us. It's a great time frame to be down here and bring down your A game, as they say.
Well, you know.
Or whatever game you may bring. We'll be happy to have you.
And we'll be really happy to get out and play together. I've been sending out invitations to Golf Smarter members, and we'll continue to give you details about the trip, and I'm continuing to update it and not only update but add goodies as we get along. So, you know, I just want you to know that if you need to customize this adventure to fit your schedule, you want a day off so as to spend it with your spouse, or have an option of staying with friends or family in the Phoenix Scottsdale area instead of being at the Zona Resort Suites, I'm happy to make that happen for you. So please stay in touch with me. Let's communicate. I want to play golf with you. I want to meet you. Now, our main interview this week is with Craig Sigal of Break80Golf.com. Let's get to it. Welcome to Golf Smarter for Members Only, Craig.
Hi, Fred. It's fabulous to be here. I'm excited.
Sounds like you're standing on top of a mountain, and the wind is blowing in your face.
I feel like I'm on top of a mountain this morning.
Why?
Well, it's a beautiful day. It's up in Seattle. The sun is shining. I'm going golfing with my kid this week. Oh, life is great.
Yeah, life is great. And you just said that you're in Seattle and the sun is shining. You better get outside quickly.
Oh, no kidding.
I am so intrigued by your website, break80golf.com, because I love the idea that you profess that all golfers can break 80 with the tools that they have and not have to spend a tremendous amount of time on training aids or coaches or practice.
Absolutely. There's so many little things that we can do. I mean, here's a perfect example. Golfers don't stretch. I mean, this is simple, but they don't do it. If you were just to get your body ready, you could do this in the car, in the passenger seat, on your way to the course, and that can save you a stroke. Instead, what do? We hit 8 putts in a row from the same spot on the putting green just before round. When do you have a chance to hit 8 putts from the same spot and tell your mind you have 7 do-overs? Doesn't happen. This is what I'm about. Let's get efficient and let's go for score.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I played with a guy recently and he was telling me about the different surgeries that he's had on his shoulders and his arms and that how limited his range of motion is. So I said, well, do you stretch in the morning or do you do anything? And he went, yeah, I go, when I wake up. And I was like, that's it?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very simple. You're right. Stretching before and 8 putts from the same spot. You're absolutely right. I've seen it time and time again.
There's 100 of those kind of little tips that I teach. 100 of them. They're so easy. They take no time, very little effort, and they reduce your score.
Bottom line.
Bottom line. I'm a bottom line guy. I used to work for FedEx Express. I was a manager, and it was get it done yesterday, get it done fast, and get it done efficiently. And that's the way I approach my golf teaching.
So you are a golf instructor?
I'm not a pro, no. I'm a mental toughness trainer.
Tell me more what that means.
That means I have found the 80-20 or the Pareto principle, which means 80% efficiency with 20% effort, or 20% of the people get 80% of the money. You might have heard that before, the 90% rule, same kind of thing. I take everything that way, and I found as a mental toughness trainer that the way to get there is through emotional mastery. And that's the 80-20. That's the efficient way. If you can eliminate having anger, frustration, or fear get in your way, your perfect swing is just going to naturally come out. Now, there's still 100 other nice little fun tips that I give, but that's the bulk of what I do.
So let's talk about breaking 80 without practice.
Yes.
Let's go there, because I think that it would be nice to know that it can be done.
Yes.
But it's not about it's more about what you have in not in your bag but in your head that brings it there and that can get you there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, when I say practice, I mean going down to the course or the range and hitting tons of balls or spending hours on the practice green. And I have nothing against it. If you can get that done, great. But most people that I work with are too busy. They have obligations. They work. And they just want to play. So when I say practice, I also mean everything that official practice. I'm not against teach. And in fact, I do teach a lot of little tips that you can do at home, sitting on your couch, in your backyard. For instance, how many times will you watch somebody jab at a putt? Yeah. I mean, it's the most common thing you'll see. And how you can eliminate that for the rest of your life on your carpet, in your living room, during commercials while you watch your favorite show by just isolating, holding your finish. Hold your finish on every single putt. Does not matter whether the ball goes in the hole or not. Just hold your finish and you will create the smoothest putt on the planet. Simple.
Just holding it after you hit it, you got to follow through, obviously, but just wait there. Hold, stay,
yes.
Pause.
Right. Annika Sorenstam, countless others, but she's one of my favorites because she would, when she was playing big time, she would stroke 50-foot putts, huge putts, and she would still be looking at the spot on the ground where the ball was while the ball's long past her eyesight, and she would listen for the ball in the cup. Gary Player taught this many years ago. You do that, that's the 80-20 of putting. You will have a smooth stroke. 10 times more efficient than hitting 10 balls in a row right before the round from the same spot on the little practice green.
It is so hard to not look towards the cup because, you know, you want to turn your head immediately to see where's it going? But you're saying just hold your head still and listen.
And practice that. I don't even like to use the word practice, but I guess we have to.
Do you prefer a different word?
No, we have to use it.
Okay.
But do it on your carpet before, you know, just for fun and games. Make it a interesting little routine that you do every night when you come home from work. And then you don't have to think about it out on the golf course anymore. It just happens because you've ingrained it.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you use Annika as an example because when I watch her take a full swing on the golf course or with her clubs, it looks as if she picks up her head way before she hits the ball, doesn't it?
This has been quite a controversy. I've been very interested. One of my best buddies teaches that you got to let your head swing, you got to let it go, and then others. I have pictures on my website of Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods swinging, and their head is still down looking at the spot well after the ball's been struck. Mm-hmm. So I think we're mostly talking about how fast can your high-speed photography catch it, faster than our eyes. There's a lot of illusion and perception going on in golf instruction, and you can't always take what great golfers say verbatim because they don't always know what they're doing. It's just how they feel and how they're choosing to use words to teach it. So buyer beware on golf instruction.
You know, so you're suggesting that with your training and the tips that you provide on your website of break80golf.com that you can knock 2-3 strokes off per round.
Well,
quickly.
It could be more than that. I have loads of testimonials, dozens. I stopped posting them up on my website a couple of years ago. But I have folks who have gone from 100 to 80.
Really?
I have pros on there. So, wow, I'm learning from you. I had no idea. And it's the bulk of it is mental. But there's, like I said, so many little tips. Here's another tip.
I just have
these tips all over the place. Golf balls. Most golfers want to go play the Pro V1s and the $5 golf balls. Most golfers should be playing the rock balls. I'm a big the hard balls that don't spin that much. Check this out. I shoot in the 70s all the time. I got my handicap down to a 5, and I still play the distance or two-piece balls. Why? because they have less spin. What is the goal out there on the course? It is to, for us amateurs, it's to hit the ball straight. We okay, yes, sometimes we play courses where we need to have some stop on the green, but most of us, most of the time, our bigger problem is keeping the darn thing in play and no out of bounds. How many times you get to the 19th hole and you go, oh, if I would have only not doubled the 12th or had that triple because I hit it out of bounds. The game for us is not to shoot for birdies all day. It's not to have a beautiful backspin. The game is to eliminate your balloon scores. Mm-hmm. Birdies and pars just happen because you're having fun. Mm-hmm. You're consistent. Mm-hmm. And you don't make huge mistakes. That's it.
Yeah.
And the balls that spin more left and spin more right and go out of bounds more. You want the ones that are more likely to stay straight and roll the darn ball up. How many golfers, they're so interested in having these pretty chip shots from 50 yards out or that flop and stop when they should be running it up there with a 5-iron when it's wide open. The chances of you chunking it are 100-fold. The problem is most of us golfers, we watch TV, we get this instruction from these top pros, and we think we need to emulate it. Well, we play a different game than the pros. I'm sorry to say that. Yes, I know it bursts some of your bubbles out there, but all I care about is scoring. And all I care about is helping my clients score lower. And when we're talking low scores, we're not talking necessarily just going from 100 to 90. I mean, I use this stuff every day when I'm out there on the course. And I'm still a single-digit handicapper.
Wow. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would love to go from 100 to 90.
But, right.
But, you know, if you watch a golf tournament, you see that even the pros, they can have a 20-stroke range over two days, right?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
We have to – that's hard for us to accept.
It is.
You know, we think
it
that,
is.
You know, hey, I've been playing this sport long enough. I'm just going to get better every time out. It doesn't work, does it?
There's a lot of brainwashing going on in the golf industry.
No, come on. You don't just leave that one out there. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, you know, all right. When you look at people's motives, it always comes down. You can almost always follow money trail. And the golf industry is no different than any other industry. They're in business to stay in business, to sell clubs, to get you to come down the range. Did you know that range balls is one of the biggest money makers for golf courses? Hitting range balls. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So I don't begrudge those folks, you know, putting out the magazines and all that great stuff. And, you know, I sell golf products too. But the fact is they're dependent on you coming back over and over and over, spending more money every single year. And therefore, they're going to do everything they can to teach you that your game is no good unless you buy the latest, greatest clubs this year, mm-hmm. or that you come back and take 100 more lessons from me or hit 1,000 more golf balls, all the things that cost money. And that bothers me. And everything with regard to what goes on the TV, which is in the advertisements, is designed to get you to spend money. Where, yes, I sell something, but I'm designed to get you to lower your score.
There's no question about it. I have so many places I want to go. You talked about blow up holes before, and it's not so much, you know, to avoiding blow up holes. It would be a nice thing to have these big number holes out of our lives.
Yes.
But it's the recovery process. It's
right.
It's not having two or three of them in a row or five of them in a round.
Exactly.
How would you advise us to once you have a blow up hole to get back to where your game is, whatever that is?
Well, it sounds like you're asking me, how do you deal with the emotions that come from a blow-up hole? Is that right?
Okay, that's exactly what I wanted to ask.
Because that's the interference. I mean, we're so angry, disappointed, frustrated at what just happened that it screws up our next hole. Well, here's the short, quick answer. When you're angry, when you're frustrated, and this is my specialty in dealing with emotions, go ahead and be in that. Do not fight it. Do not struggle with it. Do not say, I shouldn't be angry. It's the resistance to those difficult emotions that makes them worse. Oh. Here's my favorite saying, and this is on the bottom of all my emails for everything I do. It's an and world, A-N-D. And what this means is I can be angry and I can still rip this one down the middle. I can be frustrated and I can sink this putt. See, we have this old, again, brainwashing or belief system that says if I feel bad, and it's kind of just in the back of our mind, then I can't perform. And world allows you to be nervous and do it. I and everything. I tell my clients, practice using the word and instead of but throughout your life to put this into your entire being. So in the moment, yes, you're feeling angry. You just missed a crucial putt. Get your ball, start walking to the next tee, allow yourself to be in that anger and just go, okay, that's fine. I'm angry. That's interesting. That's curious. You're not judging it. You're just observing it. You're being in it. And go ahead and get your learning. What did I need to learn from that? And that will allow your unconscious mind to let go of the flood of chemicals that are cascading throughout your body, causing that feeling, the tension, anxiety, nervousness, or stress that affects the fine motor muscles in our golf swing. And then just go up there with it's an and world. I'm going to use Annika again. She has so many great stories, but remember when she played in the Colonial against the men a few years back?
Yeah.
And everybody was against her, Vijay and some of these guys are saying, she's taking one of the guys' places. This isn't right, blah, blah, blah. Well, Annika said later that that was the most nervous she had ever been in her entire life. Now, this is a woman who's, you know, won majors and has just about won everything on the entire planet with respect to golf. And there she is with the whole women's movement on her shoulders there at the first tee of the Colonial, shaking like a leaf. And what does she do? She rips it right down the middle. You can perform and be nervous. That's what I'd like golfers to take away today.
That's good, because I know that I played with a friend recently, and I had a really good round that day. And I made a huge mistake. I looked at my scorecard after number 17. That was a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Because I double bogeyed and shot an 80. But yeah. My friend, it was after the second hole. He was convinced that he was going to have an awful round that day. It just wasn't, you know, he had a good drive off the first tee, and then everything was terrible after that. And,
yes.
And he just kept verbalizing it, that this is not going to be my day. This is going to be awful. Oh, I'm just terrible. I can't believe I'm doing this. Oh, and he was yelling at himself and just wanted to say, dude, we're only on the third hole.
Right.
We've got hours and many, many, many shots left. Let it go.
Right.
But he couldn't.
Right. The brain realizes what you tend to think. Literally, the body will respond. If you're saying those things, isn't it almost comical to listen to somebody do that? You know darn well you're listening to it. You're going to manifest what you're talking about because you're talking about it. And because they're in high emotion, you have opened up the gateway to the unconscious mind. The unconscious mind is going, really? We stink? We suck? We're going to have a bad day? Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Emotion opens up that gateway. There's normally a block between your conscious and unconscious mind. Anytime you feel emotion, you are very suggestible to whatever it is you're thinking or saying to yourself. That's why self-talk is so important, but especially when you're angry. That's why when I said earlier, if you're frustrated, angry, you just made a mistake. You just observe it. You examine it. Do not fight it. Just go, that's funny. Wow, I'm angry. Well, I'm going to be in anger right now. What's that like? Well, my hands are tightening up. I feel like punching something. That's cool. I'm going to just be in anger. And it's an and world.
And what about these people who have these anger issues with throwing clubs and screaming at themselves and pounding the club into the ground and... How do we let them know that that's not necessary and that they're embarrassing themselves?
Well, it's kind of too late.
Or do we even
there.
Get involved?
Yeah.
I mean, should we just stay away from them?
When I run into those kind of people on the course, it's a little bit late for me to do my magic. But what I teach my clients is it's it's all about a misdirected focus. You see, they have put their entire universe for that moment on how they score. What you want to do when you go out to the golf course, you go ahead and have an idea of what you want to score, your goal for the day or your goal for this season. That's fine. And then you put it in the back of your mind and you forget it. Then you get out on the course and you just focus on why it is I'm here. How many times, you see golfers out there with these frowns and they're all, they spend the whole time. Are we out there to have fun? Are we out there to grind ourselves in the dirt? You have to go out with an outcome in mind as you start and as you go. And the best way to make this happen automatically is to think about it before you ever get to the course. This is how, this is so easy, and yet golfers won't do it. I'll go out there and say, here's the easiest, simplest thing in the world. From now on, go out on the course, and as part of your pre-shot routine, you have an idea or a trigger to smile. Smile! I'm going to smile 18 times today. That's my main goal. All sports psychologists talk about process goals. Have ones that contribute to your emotional framework for the day. Most golfers and most people in general, they're just like victims of their emotions. And I'm saying, listen, it is a vehicle. Emotions are there for a reason. By the way, any idea why we get emotions? Want to hazard a guess? Hardly anybody answers this, right?
I'm not even going to try.
Ah,
I'll be part of the hardly anybody.
Very good. Emotions are there. Your unconscious mind lets you know whether or not you are or are not living to your values and your beliefs. So if your value out there for playing golf is to score only, it's to, while you're out there, I must score good. Then if you don't, you're going to get difficult emotions. If you have a bad hole, you're going to get anger. What if you start the round with, my goal, my belief, my value right now is to enjoy the heck out of myself and count up how many times I do my pre-shot routine? You're not going to get difficult emotions if that's your focus when you miss, because you're out there to enjoy the sun, you're out there to enjoy the grass, the feel of a crisp stroke coming right off the center of a 5-iron, and the flight of the ball. Arnold Palmer talked a lot about a beautiful drive with a slight little draw, just how gorgeous that is, and he never got tired of it. Just, it's artistry. If you're out there on the course thinking that, come on, can you just see how your game is going to be better? That's how you get yourself at the gateway to the zone. That's how people just slip into it, just through consistency and enjoying themselves. You want to have that your idea on the course is to master the sport, master every little facet of it, give your conscious mind plenty to do with that regard, and then allow your emotions to respond to, I wonder how well I can enjoy today's round, instead of, I wonder how I'm going to score in this hole. See how, don't let your old habits just take you away. Most people are victims of that. They think emotions are something that's being done to them. No, it's something you do. And that's the biggest thing I want to get across.
Wow. So it makes me think of when we go to practice, we're going to work on our game. But when it's time to get to the course, you're going to play golf.
That's right. This is probably the biggest problem in golf right now, pro, amateur alike, bringing your range game to the course, right?
Right, right. But you're still, the word play comes in. I'm going to go play golf. I'm not going to go work golf.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely.
Play.
I totally missed that. Way to go, Fred.
Oh.
That is fabulous. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Let's talk about yips.
Yes.
So many people are convinced that the yips are their club's fault, or that their head or something. No, I mean, physical motion of their head or things
right.
like that, that they're convinced on why they have the yips. And what I've witnessed in yips, and thank goodness so far I've not experienced it.
Yay.
But it seems like a mental thing to me.
It is 100% mental, Fred. I've worked with this in my office with golfers in person.
Guys get the yips. They want to go hire an instructor to get rid of their yips on the course. Oh, when I'm in the bunker, I always, or on the especially on the green or around the green.
Yeah, yeah. It comes from, once again, misdirected focus and a buildup of repressed emotions from the golf, from your golf game. Here's the deal. We have a subconscious or unconscious mind. They're interchangeable, those words. And that part of you does not care about your golf game. All it cares about is your health and keeping you alive. It does not care how well you do. Now, if we can learn to golf with that part of us, oh my gosh, pure consistency. But it's not going to do this naturally. This is what I'm about, is teaching people how to golf with their unconscious mind, their automatic process, that part of us that beats our heart 24 hours a day and the entire time you're alive. That's the seed of consistency. Now, what was the original question?
Yeah, right. You know, it's so interesting because we'll share this with the audience. Yeah, well, the yips, but we're doing this conversation on Skype, and I'm actually looking at Craig. He's not looking at me, but I'm watching him, and he really just, his face at that moment was like, where am I? Where'd I go? All of a sudden,
we were talking about the yips. Yeah, I can get off track. Okay, so the yips.
Yes.
Bottom line is your subconscious mind does not like the fact that you've put a ton of pressure, tension, nervousness, stress, it all comes down to stress, mm-hmm. on you for golfing. And literally what it does, it's trying to stop you from golfing. It's injecting a problem into your golf game to get you to stop. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It's successful with some people.
Oh, yeah. It's self-perpetuating, right?
That's right. So literally at the moment of about to take that putt, it's messing with you. It wants to inject because you're just this stress case. You've put so much importance on whether or not you make putts. It says, you know what? I'm tired of you messing with my body here. You know, I'm just going to stop you from putting. I work with mental blocks with golfers and other athletes, and it's quite interesting. The subconscious mind will do. I mean, I've had golfers. I had a golfer once who could not. He was great. He came to me. I said, so what's wrong with your game? He says, nothing. It's perfect. Where do you lose your strokes? He says, well, whenever I get up to hit a ball and I can see my shadow, I freak. He had to give up the game. It's because he was such a stress case.
Wow.
And a lot of people say, well, I'm no stress case. Golf makes me more relaxed. I enjoy it. Really? I would tend to doubt that. Count how many times you smile and laugh out there. How many times you tell yourself, I have to have this. You put stress on your body. Your unconscious mind's job is to keep you alive. It can't do that if you're stressed. This is the number one thing. You can relate just about any health issue and most mental blocks too. Your unconscious mind wants to de-stress you. And if you're putting a ton on yourself because you have to get a certain score, pressuring yourself, then it's going to react in one way or another.
Yeah. When I first started playing, I found that I had a tough time that when I would step up to a shot, if my feet were not flat on the ground, meaning there was a divot, there was a hole, there was an indentation in the ground, it would freak me out. I would get very upset about it, but I wouldn't step away from it.
Right.
And I, you know, I would still stay with the shot, even if I'm just teeing it up where I have the opportunity to go, you know what, this is not a good spot for me. Let me pull the ball up and put it in another spot. And, you know, I mean, I don't play competitively. So if I tap the ball 3 inches aside so I can move my feet, then sometimes I'll do it. I know that's not golf and I'm sorry, but, you know, but there's these things where, you know, and I got past it. I mean, it's like, come on, just start. Once I start losing focus and being in the moment and I start concentrating on, oh my God, I'm in the hole. I'm not going to be able to hit the ball. I always screw it up when I'm doing that. That just kills it, right?
Yep.
Everything goes wrong from there.
Absolutely.
And again, it's like, see, I was right. So what I like to advocate on things like that is what I call a mental mulligan.
Beautiful.
Which doesn't count on your scorecard.
Right.
Right. If you're
love it,
if you're going to screw it up and you know you are and you've been in this situation before and then you start going, oh, I always screw this up. I always screw this up. Step away from it. Start your routine again. Take the mental mulligan. It doesn't count on your scorecard. No one's going to hold it against you. And your playing partners will have a good laugh about you taking a mental mulligan and then you won't feel pressured like you're slowing everybody down.
Exactly. I had a client once tell me, you know, I've always done my best when I have a do-over shot, right? A lot of golfers do that.
Do-over.
right?
Yeah.
You miss it. How many times you get there, you have a 4-foot putt, you miss it, you grab it, you rake it back, and then just totally casually, you just, it's like, it's the easiest putt in the world. It goes right in.
Right, right.
You can pretend on your first putt that it is a do-over. That's what I advocate practicing.
Interesting.
It's no different. When you get in touch with that part of your mind that can do that, you can put yourself in that feeling state, in that belief state on your first putt because you have it within you, right? If you're able to do it in reality, the nervous system and brain does not know the difference between imagined reality and what we call reality. There's no difference. When you get that down, you can practice in your mind. You can do things without ever stepping foot on a golf course. And all these things can come to fruition in like a big mass, when the nuclear explosion, oh, shoot, I'm losing it here.
Black hole?
No, shoot. Oh, man. Anyway, when everything comes together for you, that's what I meant by that.
Okay.
And it all just come together, all these 100 little tips and getting in touch with their unconscious, being master of your emotions. And, you know, I must get this out here before we go. The centerpiece of everything I teach is the pre-shot routine. Now, yes, everybody knows you need to do a pre-shot routine. Well, I teach that it must be done with purpose and intention. And part of that intention is to trigger the unconscious feel.
Awesome. A great message. Thank you very much. Well, we didn't get a chance to talk more about your website. Can you give us a quick overview of what you have at break80golf.com?
Yes. Thank you, Fred. At Break 80 Golf, I have, well, first of all, if you go there, you can get a free book, How to Solve Your Golf Problems. You get another book, which is Why You Can Improve Without Practice. And I can spend another hour just talking about that alone.
Well, you'll come back. We'll
yeah,
have you back.
Okay,
absolutely.
Great. I gave you some tips along those lines. Sometimes I get a little woo-woo on folks, but for the most part, I'm very grounded because I come from the corporate world. I was a corporate manager. I'm all about, let's cut through the BS. Let's get right down to the heart and soul of how we can get where we want to get as fast and efficiently as possible. And everything about my site is about that. I've got articles from golf gurus, Gary Player, Arnold Palmer, Sam Snead, a lot of the greats from the 20th century. I've collected a lot of their information and put it out in article form. I have my own articles. I have a whole section of articles from a golf psychologist by the name of Tom Kubestant, techniques on every aspect of the game, from chipping to a lot of driving distance articles. People seem to like those. I don't know why.
I like to say it's not about how far, it's about how close.
That is absolutely true.
When you're playing golf.
Now, I'll admit, Fred, sometimes I go out there where I really don't give a rip about my score. And I go, you know what? I'm just going to blast today. I'm going to swing like the wind, and I'm just going to have fun ripping the ball. Because let's face it, that is fun.
Yep.
But I go out understanding that this is not the best way for me to score. And I enjoy it on that given day because that's how I set my outcome. You know what? I'm just going to go for everything with my driver.
Nice.
And I might even have a couple beers in this round.
Yeah.
But I realize that I'm not doing this to score today.
Yeah.
You
got to know that going into it, too.
That's right. You can't have it all. You can't go out there, drink a bunch of beers, and play like a wild man, no strategy, and expect to have your best score.
Right. Right.
But it's certainly, hey, you can really love the game that way. And that's what it's about. Get out there, smile, have fun. This is everything that goes into whatever I do. Fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you very much. I'll on the blog at golfsmarter.com, I'll put links to Craig's site so that you can get his free downloads there and his ebook. Craig Sigel of break80golf.com. That was very entertaining and a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming on to Golf Smarter today.
Thank you, Fred. It was a pleasure. Anytime. I'd love to come back.
Okay. Give us one parting thought?
The parting thought. You have everything within you to get to the score, and your swing is good enough. stop going for the perfect swing. The object of the game is to keep it in play, hit it straight, and your swing is good enough. If you've hit a good shot with each of your clubs, and I know you have, then you have the information stored in your body's intelligence to do it again and again and again. It's just tapping in, baby.
So basically what he's saying is be grateful for what you got and use it. Well, as we enter the Thanksgiving weekend, I want you to know how grateful I am for your continued support, feedback, suggestions, and interest in our offerings here at Golf Smarter. When I started this show at the end of 2005, I had no idea what was going to happen or where it would go. Prague? Scottsdale? With you? In a few episodes, I'll be starting our sixth year of content, which just blows me away. I want to wish you and your family all the best this holiday season and hope that you too appreciate that we are in a time and place in our world's history that we not only have the opportunity to play golf, but that we can share information, education, and the friendship that comes with it. We close each episode of the Golf Smarter podcast with six words on golf, and this week our six words come from Mark Oldham, who suggests the best is yet to come. Next week, an old friend of Golf Smarter, Chuck Evans, director of the Medicus Golf Institute, joins us to answer listener questions and more. For your video invitation, all the details, and to join me for 4 days of fun and more at our Golf Smarter Scottsdale adventure, please go to golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.